climate envoys from four countries will be assessing South Africa's coal retirement plan for funding. Our country is currently the 12th largest emitter of greenhouse gases, as coal plays a key role in the country's energy mix. And Happy Kambule, who's Africa's senior climate and energy campaign manager for Greenpeace, who also forms part of the President's Climate Change Coordinating Commission, joins us now with more of the detail. Thanks so much, Happy, for your time this evening. So we've had climate envoys from four countries and the EU arrive in South Africa today, and this to explore the potential to fund South Africa's coal retirement plan. How viable a retirement plan is South Africa looking at here, and how soon could this come to pass?
Thank you for the questions, and hi to all the viewers. So the climate plan that we have currently in South Africa, well, that has been developed in particular with, around the coal fleet, is really that we need to be transitioning, right, away from coal towards renewable. And what we do have is that we have two problems. The one problem is that we need the funds to allow us to move towards the renewable future that we currently are trying to go to. And then secondly, we need to reduce as much as possible and immediately, in fact, our carbon concentration around our coal plants. And the one way of doing that is obviously to shut them down or to coal store all the power stations that are using coal. So the climate envoys are coming to South Africa, and just to give you some history, that the climate envoys have been going around the world, talking to largely coal-impacted or coal-rich countries, hydrocarbon-rich countries. So you're not only going to hear about South Africa, you're also going to hear about Australia, what their pledge is. But even before this year, we also had pledges as well as commitments not to deforest, like in the Amazon by Brazil, where climate envoys went there and they struck a deal. So this is the opportunity that South Africa has right now to basically say, look, this is what we want, the amount of money that we need. These are the kinds of conditions that we necessarily need associated with accessing that money, and this is what we're able to give you. And what we're able to give you from South Africa's side is that we can retire our coal plants early should the funds be there and the conditions around us accessing those funds are not too onerous or too burdensome.
I've got to ask, though, Happy, given that we are a developing nation and emerging market, is there the ability to reduce that footprint while keeping growth going, or does that stand substantially at risk? And I ask the question because one assumes that any kind of financing or funding is dependent on that, or are we looking at completely different funding models here?
That's where the problem with the deal is, to be honest. That is the question, is that is it going to have the traditional architecture of deals or of loans or finances, or is it going to allow for something which is new, which is basically allowing countries to transition away at a faster rate whilst you essentially compensate them for not using what is naturally endowed. And that is the big deal here. Obviously, there is political considerations that are there. You don't want to send the wrong signal internationally, but also nationally, you don't want to create the wrong kind of climate. So where we are is that South Africa has a plan. We know that it's the IRP, and then in that plan, we've got the Renewable Energy Independent Power Producing Program, and we've got also other expanded versions of the REAP program. Mm-hmm. However, we are not at the point where the actual contribution that South Africa can put out to the world signals to the rest of the world that coal is actually dead or coal is no longer there. And where we are, unfortunately, is that if we were to retire our coal fleet, we would not have the necessary energy availability without having renewables and storage come in to plug that gap, whilst also creating the necessary jobs and those coal benefits that are associated with energy beneficiation.
Yeah, and how much more of a stumbling block created by the fact that, energy policy in South Africa is highly contested, it's highly political, and that making it a very complex environment to strike any deal?
Yeah. You've already seen quite recently how it is becoming even more tense. But to be honest, the vision South Africa has is not one which is clearly articulated and is not well understood. So many people still feel like we've got a coal beneficiation, we've got something like clean coal, we've got all these things that are around the coal endowment process, but we really don't have that luxury anymore. developed countries, including the trade partners that we have that are buying our goods and using our services, are actually saying that we're going to put tariffs on anything that's got a high carbon content. So we can't be there anymore. The banks are saying that they're not going to be finding any new coal, including new coal plants. So we can't go there anymore. That means that we need to shift. And yeah. in that shift, we have to be taking care of the political and the socio-economic implications that come with that shift away from this particular energy source.
So happy as things stand now, how many concrete proposals are we looking at this stage that could win financial commitment and backing?
Which could win a financial commitment? I don't think we can say for certain. There are a number of, let's say, from the top of my hand, about three or four proposals that are there, which will probably be synthesized into something that is workable. But it really depends on the modus operandi of the envoys coming to South Africa. Are they coming to South Africa to consult, or are they coming to South Africa to inform, to say, this is the deal that we have, this is what we're able to bring to you, take it or leave it? Or are they going to go through an expanded process that happened similar to in Brazil, where there was one side of the Brazilian government saying, look, we need access to the forest, not only for indigenous peoples, but for economic activity. And then on the other side saying that we recognize the environmental harm that we're doing with this overburden of economic activity. This is what we can put forward, and we need you to step up. To go a step further. And I think that's where we're going to have to see where it goes. But okay. There are a number of deals that are there. And as I said, there will be a synthesis, because remember that there's still a social compact that needs to be addressed around whatever deal it may be. It might come from international. It might come with the South African endorsement after negotiation or after discussion. But to domesticate it, to get it to work, you're going to need to have all the social partners
absolutely
on the table.
Well, happy. We're going to have to touch base with you at a later stage to see where this all ends up, and perhaps even post the UN Climate Change Conference that's happening in Glasgow in November as well. Thanks so much for having joined us this evening, though. Happy Kambule is, of course, seated on President Ramaphosa's Climate Change Coordinating Commission panel. Up next, we tackle the rising oil price with John Schildorp from SEB Markets, so stay tuned for that.